This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
NC State in the ACC tournament, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for their chances to win four games, let alone five. And it was one of the most amazing things I have ever seen. And the most interesting thing for me in the first couple days of the tournament are going to be, is there any gas left in the tank for NC State after that? Because they're not only like banged up and injured, but I just can't imagine how emotionally drained. And then the NCAA gives them a Thursday game. They can't even give them a Friday game.
That's Jay Billis. It is going to be interesting. I don't know, man. My first inclination was to be skeptical that they would have anything left and to maybe pick Texas Tech in my bracket. But the more I think about it, Bone, the more I think I want to Wolfpack up. You know, I just saw Wolfpack Rick. You know what I mean? We talked to Wolfpack Willie today. I want State's run to not be done. I want America to see more of DJ Burns and the lovable player that he is.
I love Wolfpack fingering it.
But I don't know. I don't know, Bone Man, what to expect from them.
I took Texas Tech. Couple reasons. Number one, because that run, once they come down from that run, they have to get back up again. Not even on the Friday, as mentioned. They had a Thursday, not the extra day. They're going to play a physically another tough team in Texas Tech. And here is what I fall for all the time. Georgia Tech made a run a couple years. No one's made the run NC State has ever made. But Georgia Tech, were they a four seed? Whatever they were, went on to win the ACC tournament. They didn't last very long in March Madness. Virginia Tech took out Carolina, took out Duke, made a great run. I had them all the way to the Elite Eight. Fell for that one. Duke last year made that run. Oh, my God. Duke looks like they're formidable. Did not get to the second weekend. The history of the ACC teams that are making a run and winning that thing lately has not been good by any means. And I'm not saying – I'm not trying to say State has no chance, but based off history and what they just went through, I think Texas Tech's going to pull this thing out.
It does. That was my first inclination. Now I think the you know, Wolfpack homering up is starting to happen. But we've seen it. You see it even to Bone in other conference tournaments with, like, really good teams. Like, they just look so hot. And I heard one of the guys, I went on the CBS Sportsnet show, I forget who it might have been, but making the point of, we get stuck. Now, it might have been one of the ESPN Bet guys when I was watching their show, like Joe Fortenball or something. But the point was made, you've got to not go just on your last impression from a team. We get so caught up in how a team looked the last time we saw them. I just saw them run through their conference. And it often just doesn't correlate. With State, I hope it correlates. But there is at least, even if you're a State fan, you at least got to recognize, oh, there's that chance it doesn't correlate to the next week.
There's a lot of those teams right now that are in the East. Not UConn, because I think there are different animal right now for who they are.
Yeah, the East has all those conference champs.
Iowa State, red hot, just destroyed Houston. So people are going to go, oh, my God, look what they did to Houston. Then they're going to look at Houston and say, oh, my God, they got blown out by Iowa State. Iowa State, the Fighting Illini, and Auburn all just won their conference tournament, all made runs. And I would not all of them, Matt, are going to get to the second weekend of the
tournament. Yeah, you would think one of them is going to be one of those teams. So let's do this.
I actually have two of those teams not making it.
Okay, interesting. Well, let's start talking through all this stuff. I know everybody's doing the same thing, filling out the brackets. Remember, Flounder tweeted it out, a link to the Mac and Bone Challenge, which is kind of become the de facto WFNZ bracket challenge. Go check out the link, WFNZ.com Twitter account. Flounder tweeted it out this morning. But we're just basically going to BS like you would with your buddies as you go over brackets. So I want y'all to text in your answers to these questions. We'll just talk about them. At some point here, I hope Mark arrives.
He should be here before 10.
Because we got to get his
He basically said, don't tell us, but he's bringing donuts in.
I'm so ready. Yeah. I'm so ready.
I said, don't worry. I won't tell Mac and Bone.
So here's the deal.
I think they might be. I don't want to spoil where they're from, but quack, quack.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We're getting to quack, quack.
God, so. I thought I couldn't love this man anymore. But here's the first question, Bone, and everybody listening. when y'all are putting your brackets together, who is your number one upset special? You know, like a, what do we want to say, Bone? 11 seed or lower, or 12 seed or lower?
We'll go 12.
Let's go 12 on down.
I actually have a 10 in the Elite Eight. Does that count for that?
Well, that's the next question. The next question is going to be double-digit seed.
We're at a bar with our buddies, and Mac has a topic of us.
This is how I do it with my buddies. I run the show like it's a radio show. We don't just seamlessly talk. So anyway, the first one is this, fellas, and everybody texted in 704-570-9610. Your number one go-to. Like the upset of a 12 seed or lower that you feel the strongest about for you, Flounder, is which one? If you got to pick one to start.
So if I'm going to guarantee one.
Yeah, yeah.
Guaranteed Grand Canyon beats St. Mary's.
Yeah, you are loving on Grand Canyon. A lot of people love that too.
Tyon Grant Foster is a monster NBA prospect that plays for Grand Canyon. They're a team that was there last year. Good balance, good offensive team. Good defensive team, although they did play in a weaker conference, so that might help them out a little bit there, though. I think, look, St. Mary's can make the game ugly, but when you have the type of guys that they have, especially Grant Foster, I think they find a way to win that one.
Yeah, that's a popular one. St. Mary's is gritty. I kind of like them, but if that happens, I'm not shocked. I mean, they got 29 wins. We're in it last year. Like, yeah, that's I can't get, you know, I can't say that's like a dumb choice or anything. What do you think, Bone Man?
Well, I got to pick one, but I got two 13s winning, being four seeds. Can I just give you both those? I said them the other day.
Go ahead and cheat. Where's the bar?
I'm going to let you cheat. Kansas is vulnerable, man. This is not your typical Kansas team. This feels more like the Kansas teams that lost early in Bill Self's run to Bucknell and Bradley. They got McCullers is out now. I think Samford, they score the ball, Bucky ball. I think Samford stuns Kansas, and I feel the same way about Alabama. Alabama could score, but Charleston, man, we saw them last year have a great year. We know how good Pat Kelsey is. I think this is the Pat Kelsey Mac coming out party. I think he's headed towards a major job at some point. It might be right now. I think Samford and Charleston both advance around beating the four seeds.
Samford and Charleston. Yeah, I could see both of those too. And the Samford one was one that I'm eyeing. I'm eyeing
that area
of the bracket is where I'm eyeing. And I was thinking about Buckyball and Samford now that McCullough is definitely out. And you know Dickinson, if he plays, is going to play off a dislocated shoulder. So I wouldn't expect him to be 100%. I'll give you one that's right next to that in the bracket. I'll go with Will Wade. Ooh. Everybody's villain, right? Yeah. From the FBI probe. He was on, you know, he was overheard saying, I'm going to make a strong ass offer or whatever and buying players. And he's worn the villain hat. I think he gets a little bit of redemption this week. And this is kind of a ballsy pick because Gonzaga's made the dang Sweet 16 8 straight freaking times. So they've been money in the tournament, but I'm going to go for Will Wade having a moment of redemption, Bone, and beating Gonzaga in the tournament.
What stones?
Mag, I think
do you like that one or not?
I like it, but here's my question about the Zags. They've been at the top for a while, right? Not that five seed's bad, but they've been doubted this year. This hasn't been your typical Zags team. Yep. Are they under the radar a little bit now where they can utilize a little more of, we're the team that's not being picked a lot anymore. I just wonder if the Zags have a little
I question with McNeese State, too. I mean, look, the 12 seeds, they played some weak schedules. There's no doubt about it. That schedule for McNeese is really weak. That conference that they play in is horrible. So that's the one thing that concerns me a little bit. Like James Madison, man, they played Michigan State. They beat them. They have some pretty good wins on their resume.
So let me get this straight here. You guys gave your upsets. I supported you. I gave my upset, and both of you told me why it's not going
to
happen.
See, this is why we don't invite Mac out to the bar. He's going to argue the whole time.
This is banter. I think there's a chance that it could happen because they can score the ball at a high level.
Listen, I got news for you. There are chances y'all's upset can happen, and there's a chance y'all's upset won't happen too.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Right? So we all have to agree. We have to say, Mac, you're right. We're picking our upsets. I didn't pick that one.
Is making upsets. I can make arguments against both of you.
What are you getting mad for?
Well, you kind of did with St. Mary's. You said you liked the way that they play defensively, but it's okay.
I said that they're really gritty and I like them, but I can see that happening.
I could see McNeese State pulling the upset.
Guys, I got news for you. I could see the either outcome.
I don't want to be at this bar anymore.
Games.
This is a terrible bar.
What just happened?
Why are you getting angry for? No, I thought we were just going through our picks and what we like, what we don't. We're bantering.
I'm just saying.
So you want the banner to cater towards Mac is right.
No,
Mac is
right. The way I bantered with you, I didn't tell anybody why their upset wasn't going to happen. Man. We were just throwing out upsets, right? We were encouraging each other.
You would never tell us why we were wrong about something. And I was going to say also, I don't think oftentimes if I pick like McNeese to beat Gonzaga, well, I already have Samford beating Kansas.
Yeah.
So I kind of took like, okay, maybe are both going to go? I don't know. So I pick Gonzaga to win that. That's all I'm saying, man.
Okay. All right. All right. It's fine. I don't think you.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. Tell us. Give us all your picks.
All right. Let's go to the next one. The next one is double digit seed in the Sweet 16. So this one, you can go tens and
down. Why don't you lead us off then?
Go ahead, Matt. I don't have one yet. Go and pick.
Wait a second. Okay. How about you want to go? Go ahead, buddy.
I have a double digit seed all the way to the Elite Eight.
Ooh.
And it comes from that region we talked about with Iowa State and Auburn and Illinois. Ooh. I've got Drake advancing all the way to the Elite Eight.
That was the one I was going to go with. Ooh, but I like that.
They took Miami to the limit last year. They got a great player and the coach's son there, DeVries.
Yeah.
I think Drake, and plus, they're going to play Iowa State. They don't have much fear of that. Drake seems to me they're going to be that they're going to be that team that the double digit seed that advances.
That was the one I was getting ready to say. So I fully support that one. There'll be no questioning here. There'll be no telling you why.
I wanted you to argue so bad.
I could tell you that Iowa State just beat Houston by 28. And if they can do that, they're very capable of beating Drake. I could tell you that. Yep. But for the spirit of the conversation.
God, you are I'm so hurt over there.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just, you guys really fired back at me. Like, I was just telling you, I was having some fun.
I really, really fired back by making the point that I don't think Gonzaga
that, like when I said let's just move on. I don't really give a crap. I'm just effing around.
You are a sensitive racket man.
No,
right
you guys got sensitive. I'm effing around. Flounder, give me one.
All right. I've got a team going to the Elite Eight as well as a double digit C. I think New Mexico will make a run. I just love the way they're playing right now. They got two really good guards, the son of former players in Jamal House and Jamal Mashburn Jr. And then you've got a couple of forwards as well. I mean, JT Toppin is really coming into his own. I think that they'll find a way to upset Clemson. I think Baylor is overseeded. I don't trust them. And then Arizona, I mean, we've been here before with Arizona so many times in the past. And it's not just Tommy Lloyd. It's the coaches beforehand. I think they slip up there. And that's why I have Carolina playing in the Elite Eight. I like New Mexico with a deep run.
I also had New Mexico to the Sweet 16 as well.
To the Sweet 16. Yeah, I could see that. Baylor's defense is a real issue. And New Mexico State is talented. There's no doubt. Arizona losing. Flound wants to avoid Caleb so badly, don't you?
Oh, I don't want
You don't want any part of that as he heals.
Because even if you beat him, like there's going to be, it could be a game where he starts jawing back and forth and then we start hating him. Like, I don't want that.
I got to be honest. Based on the way Tar Heel fans talked about him last year, I thought the hate was already there.
Flounder doesn't believe in life after love.
Flounder wants to forget that he hated him last season and wants to try to remember him in a good light, which I guess is understandable. That's a question I haven't asked Tar Heel fans that we haven't asked yet is, do you want Arizona? I mean, I guess if you're a Tar Heel fan, you want an easier game. You want a less talented team. That's the way I would, right?
Yeah.
But the radio host that wants a salacious storyline wants Caleb Love.
I will say this. You shouldn't fear them because of their history, in their recent history with not being able to get to the Final Four. Like, I think if they get on that stage, they'll choke.
But this has to be a Final Four year for the Heels, right? Based off the bracket. And
I think
Arizona got knocked out of there and they didn't make it, that would be a major disappointment.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Arizona and the Tar Heels, if they play a 7-game series, it's a tight series, isn't it?
Yeah. Very evenly matched.
Yes. That's a hell of a team. I would say this, Bone, about a double-digit seed. I would say that in that little pod area that we were going to earlier, I feel like a very good pick is either Samford or McNeese State.
I think that is tremendous. Or great job, Matt.
I have to drop the state, right? Don't I have to drop the state now? It's just McNeese. Is that right?
Is it? No, it's McNeese State.
Is it still state? Okay.
Yes. I don't know.
I thought everybody was saying McNeese. Yeah, it says McNeese on the bracket. I think whoever upsets there, I think they have a chance of pulling two upsets because I don't think Gonzaga is near the usual. Like, you know, we talk about their eight straight Sweet 16s. This is Mark Few's worst team in a while, it feels like to me.
No, it is.
In Kansas, yeah, it's all been documented. Kansas didn't, you know, has not looked good down the stretch. They're not healthy at all. They are so ripe for the picking, it feels like, you know?
As far as, like, the some of the lower, I don't really see, like, we don't normally, I guess. I don't really see, like, a St. Peter's FDU. I don't really see one that stands out because I don't think Tennessee is going to fall for the St. Peter's trick in there. Marquette Western Kentucky is interesting to me if you're going to go that route.
That's the upset I picked.
The way lower seeds because Colwick has been injured. Western Kentucky's not like a, you know, they're not like a pushover necessarily for who they are. That's one where Marquette might be pushed back a little bit in that.
No 16? You know, you're not calling 16 for the second straight year?
We got to start working at those a little bit now because they're happening now. They've happened a couple times.
Colgate against Baylor. They've been 3 out of 4 years. Team that scores the ball at a high level. Yeah, could be interesting.
Yeah. You think Colgate cleans them up, Bone? You know what I'm saying? Just cleans them up.
What about North Carolina?
Brushes them right out of there?
Yeah, you can't. No, people don't get the joke because I'm acting like I'm brushing my teeth Colgate cleans or whatever.
What about North Carolina playing Wagner?
You would love that.
Do they play one or both?
Would you sacrifice a limb for Carolina to lose to a 16?
If North Carolina lost to, now I'm joking by calling him Wagner. That was the first hour. I would retire from radio. If Wagner,
would you give up like a finger at least? Like I would say I can chop your pinky finger off if you're guaranteed to see Carolina lose to a 16?
You could take a pinky toe and a pinky finger, and I would retire from radio.
Oh, God. Hey, it's a rival. It's your hated rival. You're supposed to feel that way. I respect that. All right, let's go to the Flound Dog. Let's go to Tournament Central, ladies and gentlemen. You know all the upsets. Fill them into your bracket. All right, there you go. This texter says, I thought the thing was supposed to be about upsets. I didn't think you guys were supposed to get upset at each other. I see what you did. That was a disingenuous laugh. I like it.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
We got to switch gears and talk about the Panthers because maybe you could say that the Panthers missed out on another guy if you think Chase Young was somebody they missed out on, even if we got some injury news on Chase Young after he signed the one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints, $13 million. There's a neck problem that teams didn't know about with Chase, and it might keep him out into training camp, according to a report from Adam Schefter. And so that changes the calculus on that a little bit. But Wes, the Panthers also, quote-unquote, miss out on Mike Williams, who's going to sign a one-year deal with the New York Jets, and he's going to get paid $15 million up to. It's a deal worth up to $15 million, which is a decent amount of money. Only 1 year, but that's still a lot of money to pay for a wide receiver. What are your thoughts on Mike Williams signing with the Jets and not coming back to Carolina for a visit? The Jets just didn't let him out of the building.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're the Panthers, you look at this situation, it's no big deal. I mean, I think if you get Mike Williams, yes, it's a nice get for you. But I also think this is another guy. We talked about Chase Young and his injury history. Mike Williams is another one with a big injury history that we've talked about. Tearing his ACL last year, back injuries, you name it, he's had it. And so I think for the Panthers at this point, I think your receiving core is okay, and then you can go ahead and add a rookie to that mix. I think that's the best way to do it, because you'll have a nice mix of veterans and young guys that can be groomed by those older guys. So you're going to have Thielen and Deontay Johnson and the crew, and then Jonathan Mingo, we'll see what he gives you this year. You would think that he's going to improve at least a little bit. And then if you draft a rookie, a Ladd McConkey or Xavier Leggett or one of those guys too. So that's a pretty nice receiving core. When you talk about, you'll have depth, you'll have different skill sets. So I think it's fine. I think, you know, you go out and have the opportunity to draft a rookie that could be one of your receivers of the future. I think that's the way you go.
I agree and disagree. I'm not tripping too much off of Mike Williams going to the Jets. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I think he's a good player. We know about the injury.
Oh, yeah, when he's healthy, yeah. He's big time.
Yeah, he's somebody that can stretch the field. He's a big body to throw to, physical. And I don't know, you might have had, I mean, I guess borderline physical receiver in Mingo, but it didn't lead to a whole lot of production. It does with Mike Williams, and I think that would help Bryce Young quite a bit. The problem is, I do think I'm not nearly as comfortable with this wide receiving core. Like, you traded for Deontay Johnson, and I sat here and did a whole show on it while you were gone. Like, mm-hmm. I loved the Deontay Johnson trade. Couldn't get enough of it. There are plenty of reasons as to why. One, liking the player. Also, just liking the piece of business mm-hmm. that Dan Morgan and crew conducted. I'm still okay if you want to double up at wide receiver at 33 and 39. You think about it. Deontay Johnson added to the mix is a big deal. Adam Thielen was good. Every year, you can't bank on it because he's getting that much older. I'm not saying he's a bad receiver. Every year, you go in with some level of uncertainty because that's what happens to every player that's ever played in the NFL. Once you hit, what, 34, 35, I can't bank on you being as productive the previous season. I liked Mingo as the pick. So this is somebody that liked him at number 39 mm-hmm. when he was selected a couple years ago. But with Mingo now not having produced as much as I thought he would, yeah, offensive line needs to be better. Bryce Young needs to be better. But that's a 50-50 proposition on whether Mingo is going to be more productive. And then you don't have DJ Chark. They didn't sign anybody in free agency outside of re-upping on Amir Smith-Marset, which is, I like the move. I think we all like him, but we know about him being more of a gadget receiver. Don't even know what's going to happen with Terrace Marshall Jr. We don't expect him to be a part of this core, right? So Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, Jonathan Mingo.
David Moore didn't get you excited.
I do have a brief, interesting David Moore story.
Okay.
When he was with the Panthers in 2001 and spent the offseason down in Spartanburg, I was covering for the other radio station I worked at. And I went down there, and he was taking punts. He was returning punts, a part of their drill that they were rolling with. And one of the footballs is kicked more towards me. So momentum, he grabs the football, and momentum takes him over to the gate. I'm behind the fence. And then he sees a ladybug right there next to the fence, and I'm there. He's like, he looks down at the ladybug, looks up at me, and he says, "What is that, a ladybug?" I said, "Yeah." "Cool." Runs back out. It's like, okay.
So, but
David Moore, cool. But I think I'm not as comfortable as you are.
Well, I was going to say, but my question to you is, how many receivers do you want? Because if you sign Mike Williams, that would be a pretty loaded receiving core. When you talk, if Mingo improves a little bit, then you have Mike Williams, Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson. I mean, that's a pretty nice core. Because most of the time, and I say that because most NFL wide receiving cores are top heavy. You're going to have your two guys at the top that are your guys. Hopefully you've got a one that's a true one, then your two. But a lot of times the three, you know, if you have the benefit of having a really good offense, let's just take my Niners, for example, not saying it because it's my team, but, you know, you go Debo, Ayuk, and Juwan Jennings. That would be like an ideal receiving core where you have three guys that you can count on. So I think if you're the Panthers right now as it stands, that's why I say I think if you get a rookie, and I'm operating off the premise that rookie comes in and makes an impact, then yeah. I think your receiving core is good to go. If you can get a strong trio, then I think you're good to go. And I think the Panthers are knocking on the door of that. I think Deontay Johnson is going to be your one. Thielen, you know you can count on him. As you said, the health is a concern, but what isn't a concern with NFL players? And I get the age factor in that. Mingo is a guy they still want to develop, still want to see what he can do. And I think, I'm not saying he's going to have a breakout year next year, but I think he'll be a little better than he was this year. And then you go out, like I said, and grab your receiver that could end up being one of your receivers of the future. I think you're looking pretty good there.
Yeah, so all of them come with caveats to me. Mm-hmm. Let's say, okay, so Adam Thielen, one, I think he's got 2 years left on his contract. So you don't have the long-term answer. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about specifically next season, okay, hopefully we squeeze him for everything that he's worth one more year, and then we'll see where he goes in the very twilight of his career. So there's the caveat with Adam Thielen. The caveat with Jonathan Mingo is, I don't know for sure that he's going to improve.
Sure.
We certainly hope so. There's reason to believe that guys get better their second season, but we've talked about it. Improvement does not happen on an escalator every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You go through lulls, and sometimes you just never make it.
Yeah.
That happens. So I don't know for sure about Mingo. If you draft a couple of these guys in the second round, or at least one, I'm going to be cool. I want one pick at wide receiver. I'd walk away disappointed, depending on who the players were at these different positions. Mm-hmm. But I would walk away a little disappointed if this was your receiving core, and you didn't select one in the second round. Yeah.
You gotta want another guy.
But you still need guys that are going to be here for the future. I can't help but go back to the year that Joe Brady called this offense, and they had a strong receiving group, one of the best in the league, not top two, but top, what, five, seven, something like that. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel. All of them had over 1,000 yards of total offense. Think about how much that dwindled so quickly with Curtis Samuel's injury history. He bounces for a new contract with Washington. Okay, now you have two. Robbie Anderson just forgets how to football. So now no more Robbie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He's not effective at all. In fact, it's a bad contract. As soon as he puts the ink to paper, bad contract. Now you have one. And then you trade DJ Moore because of the context there. But now you have zero. And that was just 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I want guys that you have contract control over, and you're always going to want to put your quarterback in as good of a situation as possible. Just because Bryce Young struggled last year, for sure, it makes it more urgent that you need to get him help. But I'm not going away from giving him help in his second, third, fourth, fifth year just because he's better now. I always want to give him help. I want to give Pat Mahomes as much help as possible. So to me, that's why I want a little more comfort with this receiving core, understanding you're not going to be able to check off every single box. And maybe that does come at the sacrifice of not as many edge rushers this year, which I'm also worried about. Maybe that happens. But these are the weaknesses that I still see with this team, and I still think there's one there at wide receiver.
Do you view Johnson? So I'm guessing you view Johnson as more of a two.
Like a 1B, mm-hmm. something like that. But I think he can be a okay number one. Like, I think he's...
I'm in that same boat with you. I look at him as really a two.
Yeah.
A really good two.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ladd McConkey, two guys that separate like hell. I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
Leggett, people are starting to hop on the Leggett train. And smart...
Because he's a prototypical one, if he pans out. And he's exactly what you would want.
And it doesn't seem like it's just the body with him and the athleticism. There are some things that people are starting to evaluate. He was on a Baldy breakdown. Baldy is liking what he's seeing. And even if it's just 1 year of production, he showed a lot of things in that 1 year of production.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed the athleticism. And there's clearly the work ethic there, too, with what people are telling you about him. And last thing I'll reference here, Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus said, ranking wide receivers 4 through 15 is absolutely hell. But if you're selecting a wide receiver in the second round, merry bleeping Christmas. Because you could get the fourth best wide receiver with how much talent there is. So if you take two stabs at it, and let's just say you hit on both of them, now you have Deontay for 1 year. Remember, none of these guys have a long time contractually with this team right now. Deontay, I think you have control for one more season. Adam Thielen, you might want to get out of after 1 year. Jonathan Mingo, you do. So I shouldn't say nobody, but Mingo, you do have contractual control over. So now you would like to have a couple more guys that can last for the future. Yeah, the wide receiver stuff, I'll be very interested to see how they address. And now you're pretty much done, right, in free agency with the top-notch receivers going places?
Pretty much. I mean, the T. Higgins deal could still be something that happens. And I think the scenario that you would be looking forward to as far as the optimum situation is kind of like the Steelers when they drafted Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown in the same year. And you end up getting two big-time wide receivers in one draft. So that's what you would hope for.
You weren't here, but when we talked with Brooke Pryor – who covers the Steelers. I said, hey, how in the hell do the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to draft all of these great wide receivers? She's like, well, it's not really a secret. They just don't really care about off the field issues. It's like, oh, okay. She said, so maybe Carolina wants to get rid of that worry, or maybe they don't. I don't know. I was like, yeah, I guess it's not really a secret. It's just they just continue to draft talented receivers, and however it happens for those guys, it happens.
They draft them from the pit, not the palace.
I like that. That was very good.
Yeah.
Wes Bryant. He's here all day, folks.
Tony O'Brien.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Busy show here on a Wednesday afternoon. Coach Matt Daugherty and North Carolina Sports Hall of Famer, Davidson's winningest head coach, Bob McKillop, in studio for one more segment talking March Madness. And we're taking your questions on the FanDuel text line, 704-570-9610. Another reminder, if you are interested in winning a pair of tickets to seeing Tom Segura's stand-up comedy routine, and it'll be a big one. It should be a sold-out show Saturday, April 13th at the Spectrum Center. You've got until 5 o'clock today to text our text line, 704-570-9610. Simply text the word funny, F-U-N-N-Y. Capitalization doesn't matter, but I will say, if you have a signature in your text or anything that's additional text, get it out of there. It will not register in our system if you send that plus a signature on your text. So just text the word funny and only the word funny to 704-570-9610. Coach Bob McKillop, let me go here for a second. You are a part of the NIT selection committee.
Yes.
And a lot's been said about the NIT this week since about, I believe at last count, a dozen teams declined bids to the NIT this week? Is that about right?
I think it was seven that declined opportunities. Some did it before their own conference tournament. Some did it during their conference tournament. Some did it after their conference tournament.
Understood. Okay. So your general thoughts on that, of course, but I would also throw in, you know, Jay Billis, who makes somewhat regular appearances here on the station. I heard him 2 days ago say, look, out of respect, I mean, I don't think this is going to change. And he said, I don't watch the NIT. I can't. I'm watching the NCAA tournament. And he said, I probably shouldn't say that because I work for ESPN. But you know, the NIT's got to figure some things out. That was the gist of what Jay was saying over there. What is your perspective on the NIT?
Well, I watched it last night.
Well, so did I. My Hokies were playing. And
it's a difficult situation because Monday was the portal. And now coaches are more concerned about stocking their roster than playing a game where maybe, just maybe, they're not going to have that roster for next year. It used to be a place where you could prepare your roster for next year. You could give them a shot of adrenaline, get them thinking, get them believing, having them a tournament experience, and then they've got to step up on next year. Now, you're not sure which roster is going to be back next year. And in general, the teams that declined an invitation, that was the reason behind declining the invitation.
Can it be fixed? I mean, I heard recently that I think it was within the last 6 to 8 months that the networks were working on setting up a competing tournament out in Vegas with the NIT.
There is that carrot that's being thrown out there that there's going to be a competing tournament on another network, and it's going to be tied exclusively to Power 5 conferences, and there's going to be NIL money thrown in on top of it. So it's an ominous look as the NCAA forecasts what's going to happen with the NIT. It's going to be tough to maintain that in the place it is right now.
Yeah. Do me a favor, grab that mic a little bit if you could. The listeners out there, they're hanging on every word of yours out there. We were talking about the NC State run there a second ago. What about the 2008 run? Steph Curry and company coming to town on Saturday. Since you're here, I mean, let's talk about that 08 run that you were a part of. And obviously, Steph headlines it in many ways, but there were so many other parts to it. And you know, we were just discussing Kevin Keats trying to keep his team up and motivated and push the right buttons night after night in the ACC tournament. What do you recall about you doing the same during that run?
You need luck. And luck comes in, fortune comes in so many different phases. So, for example, we played in RBC back in December. We had been in that same locker room. We played NC State, lost by 1 or 2 points. Our guys had a feel for that arena. Gonzaga was our first opponent. Gonzaga has to fly across the country, 3 hours. We're in our own backyard, and our fans are there. So we beat Gonzaga. Then we've down 18 at halftime against Georgetown. And then the second game was Arkansas against North Carolina, and North Carolina fans start coming into the arena. Well, guess who North Carolina fans were rooting for? They're rooting for Davidson. So all of a sudden, we got double the fan base in a matter of 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. And why were they rooting for Davidson? Well, a North Carolina team, but the previous year in Greensboro, Georgetown had knocked out North Carolina. So you get all kinds of luck that can occur. And then, of course, we had this other lucky charm called Stephen Curry. He was absolutely extraordinary. He was at another level, which he has maintained ever since that tournament.
Well, speaking of maintaining it, the way that he continues to play well into his 30s in the NBA is nothing short of remarkable. I mean, Steph's not as small a guy as some people would maybe imagine if they've never met him, but you know, relative to NBA standards, to continue to play at the level that he's playing this far into his 30s, are you at all surprised by that? Because some people are.
I've seen his work ethic. I watch the way he takes care of himself, and he is absolutely magnificent about the way he makes himself better every day. He wakes up and says to himself, how can I get better today? And he does that in his life as a player, his life as a spouse, as a father, as a sibling, as a son, as a teammate. He has quite a few boxes that he checks.
Bob, I've been blessed to be around a great player, Michael Jordan, and I get a question, and I'm sure you get a question over and over and over again. And for me, it's, hey, did you ever think Michael would be this good? Or when did you realize that he had a chance to be that good? And to me, it was pickup games the summer after Michael's freshman year when he's going against Walter Davis, all-NBA player, rest in peace, Walter. And he was giving it to Walter, and I was sitting in the stands, and I was like, man, Mike, you know, go easy. That's, you know, he's got his jersey in the rafters. He's an all-pro. When did you realize that Stephen had a chance to be like a good NBA player?
Remarkably, in his first month on campus, we were limited to three-man workouts. And what was exposed in those three-man workouts for him to assimilate himself into a rather complex offensive system and techniques and fundamentals, I've never seen anybody grasp it as quickly. He not only saw where the ball was, he saw where it was going to be. He was always one step ahead. But then he had the remarkable capacity to live in the present moment. He makes a mistake. It didn't stay with him. He didn't carry a backpack around. He got rid of what was in that backpack and played unencumbered as he went into the next play. Two extraordinary gifts, the vision and the ability to look in the present were part of what made him so good.
How, as a coach, okay, I played for you. I worked for you. Demanding guy. Player makes a mistake. How did you hold him accountable to that mistake, but allow him to move on to the next play?
I threw him out of the first practice. It was a three-man. It was a three-man workout.
What did he do?
He showed up maybe 3 minutes late.
There you go.
And so I did not let him practice. And I always believe that when you deny a player an opportunity to practice to get better, you don't make him run. You just deny him that opportunity to get better. You find out who the real competitors are.
Wow.
And it worked because he never was late again. And he came back the next day, and that's when I made him run. But I didn't make him run suicides. I just made the workout a very intense workout. And you know how I always carry a white handkerchief around in my back pocket? I'm old school about that. Well, about halfway through the workout, I take the white handkerchief out and I wave it in his face. Are you ready to surrender? Hey, Steph, you going to surrender? And of course, he did not do that.
See where I get it from?
I love it. I love the team. I love your story after your team lost a preseason game to an oil company not that long ago. Yeah. You ran them until they couldn't stand up the following day. I do have a very popular question on the text line right now, Coach McKillop. A lot of folks want to know if you think that you'd have been able to hang on to Steph at Davidson during the NIL era.
You know, it's a great question. And Stephen committed to us in November. At the end of December, two schools, Power Five conference schools, called Sonia, his mom, and said, we've now discovered we have a scholarship, and we'd like Steph to consider coming to our school next year with a scholarship. Sonia and Stephen both told those schools, I'm going to Davidson. I signed with Davidson. I'm going to honor my commitment. Stephen then was approached at the end of his freshman year when he averaged 20-plus points a game by an ACC program. Again, the same response. I will honor my commitment. He's a millionaire over. He promised our fan base. He promised me. He promised his mom, his dad. He promised the Davidson community. I'm going to graduate from Davidson. He said that at the banquet in 2009. He honored that commitment in 2022 when he accepted his diploma from Davidson College. So I believe he would honor his commitment.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not going to press you on it, but I can only assume that my alma mater might have been one of those making the phone call in Blacksburg. Just the one in Blacksburg. You don't have to say it. I know.
No, it was not. It was
really.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah. That's lore in Blacksburg, not the good
kind. And Seth is a really good friend of mine.
Okay. Well, no, I like that. Look, Seth and I have known each other for a long time too. I was a student there when Seth was, you know, in his best years in Blacksburg. But that's a story that gets told quite often around those parts. Real quick before we let you both go, because I know our boys at BT are waiting on you. A lot of folks just want to know, who are you picking to win the national championship
this
year?
Well, I went to ChatGPT.
Oh, did you really?
And I asked, you know, who pick all the winners in the NCAA men's basketball bracket 2024? And it didn't have an answer. So I'm not as smart as AI, so I'm not even filling out a bracket. I fill out my bracket after the tournament's over.
I wait till about 3 minutes before tip-off on Thursday myself because I don't want to focus on it. I'm probably going to lose anyway. Bob, what do you have?
I don't root for teams. I root for coaches, guys that I know do it the right way, and I think there's a couple of them out there that do it the right way.
Just a couple.
just a few, huh?
Well, a couple that are considered to be potential winners.
You're on the NIT selection committee. I think that based on recent comments from the likes of Rick Pitino and now Tom Izzo, that they could use some guys like you on a selection committee for the NCAA tournament, because I know Tom Izzo made those statements late yesterday, early this morning, that there are too many analytics, not enough former coaches on this committee making these decisions.
You know, the process is a very, very good process, and I didn't know that as a coach until I sat on the committee. And yes, there are analytics, but there's a lot of gut as well. Analytics don't tell the whole story. There's got to be gut involved.
Love it. It was great to see you. Thank you for coming in studio. We appreciate it. Coach Daugherty, I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Smokey.
All right.
You've tuned in to Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.